Comfort. Give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Prophets don't generally like to be rejected and hated. They don't enjoy being the sign of contradiction and conviction of others. But faithfulness demands that a prophet hands on what God says, not what they feel like saying. Yet there are joyful moments when God commands a prophet to encourage and comfort. Isaiah is often filled with bold challenges and strong warnings. But here, the prophecy is closer to what we've come to expect in the time leading up to Christmas. Comfort, speaking tenderly. Who could object to being the bearer of this news? But what is the news? What is the message? How does Isaiah comfort God's people? He says their service is at end. Their guilt is expiated. Indeed, they have received from the hand of the Lord double for all their sins. Wait. Isaiah's message of comfort is that God has punished them double for all their sins? They have expiated their guilt, paid the debt of their sin. But why double? Isn't that unfair and excessive? If you lose sight of the context, yes. But there's something deeper at work here. First, we have to acknowledge the joy, the comfort of expiating our sins. Imagine if you had cheated on your spouse, stolen something very important, or hurt someone and crippled them for the rest of their life. What would you prefer that they do? That they go on acting like nothing ever happened? Or that you get the chance to show your sorrow, to re-earn their trust and affection? Is it enough for them to simply say, I forgive you, and move on? Or is there some part of you that wants to pay back, to make up for your fault in some way, even if you can't fix everything you've broken? Although a quick and painless act of forgiveness might sound easier, your human nature would not be at peace. It is written into the way we work. When we mess up, especially in a big way, we need to do something to repair the damage, to make reparations. Forgiveness saves us from condemnation, but the damage of our sins still needs repair. And when you've done something terrible, that burden and that damage can stay with you for a long time, even if you know that you have been forgiven. So just imagine the relief, the comfort it would bring if a prophet of God were to look you in the eye and say, you have paid all your debt. You have expiated the damage of your sins. Would you not rejoice to be freed of that burden? Would it not renew and energize the relationship you have to whomever you've hurt? Now just imagine if they not only said you have paid your debt, but that you have more than made up for the damage you've done. How much greater would the joy be? How much profound your appreciation of the person who has forgiven you? How much stronger the relationship would be? And it seems crazy to the world, but there are many, many cases of people, friends, relatives, even mothers, who have gotten closer to the person who killed their loved one. The experience of forgiveness and of making reparation can actually make the love deeper than it was before and turn the killer of your loved one into a friend and a loved one themselves. So yeah, Isaiah truly comforts God's people when he says, you have paid double for all your sins. That's the comfort that I and every priest wants to bring to you this Advent. And yet, there should be something in the back of your mind that hesitated when you heard what I said. Some part of your conscience might be a little uneasy at the idea that you can fully repay your own debt of sin, much less overpay it yourself. Doesn't the church teach that it's impossible for a human being to pay the full price of their own sin? Yes, in fact, she does teach that. And even on a natural level, we can see a problem. If you go back to the example of crippling someone by your fault, there's nothing you can do to undo that damage. So how can they say to you that you've not only repaired permanent damage, but that you've done more and increased the quality of your relationship? You can't undo paralysis and death and trauma, even if you might bring a little relief. Is Isaiah lying to us when he says our sins are doubly repaid? No, because his message doesn't stop there. So how is this great debt of sin repaid? By God himself. Prepare the way of the Lord. Here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Ah, there it is. Recompense. It's not a common word. It's from the same word as compensation, meaning to balance, to pay fairly for. The recompense of the Lord, that is what pays the debts that we could never pay. God declares that Israel has paid their debt of sin, that we have paid our debts of sin, because he himself comes to pay them for us, with us, and through us. If paying off the debts you can afford would bring relief, how much greater a relief to pay off debts you could never afford? What a comfort that would be. And that is how we can explain this strange man that we call John the Baptist. This bizarre and austere person lives in the desert, eats bugs, and shouts at people for their sins. Yet practically the whole country of Judah and all of Jerusalem flock to this guy. He's more popular than Jesus for a while. So why go see this madman who tells you you are a sinner? Because you have heard the prophecy of Isaiah. And the fact is, we are all sinners. And there's no point in hiding from someone who will tell you that. But John is more than a judge or a prosecutor or an accuser. No, this man not only tells the Jews of their sin, but of the fulfillment of the ancient promise of Isaiah. Finally, the claim that you have paid double for your sins can be called true. And how is this? Because one mightier than I is coming after me. The mighty one is Jesus Christ, to be born for us 2 weeks from now. The Mighty One pays not only double for your sins, but triple, quadruple, and on to infinity. St. Peter tells us that 1,000 years are as one day for the Lord. And Jesus Christ is God. He transcends not only time, but all of our guilt. One day of sin, 1,000 years of sin, all of it is matched and exceeded by his gift on the cross. But we still need to do it ourselves. Even though we cannot earn forgiveness, even though we cannot undo the damage of our sin, we are hardwired to want to try anyway. But do not fret, for that is but one more of the many facets of God's saving glory and grace. Jesus forgives and pays every debt of sin we bring to him, but he does not set aside our humanity. He embraces it and works within us, enabling us to pay our debts by cooperating with his grace and his gift. John declares that I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Repentance is required for forgiveness, and repentance includes the desire and the effort to pay back the debt of sin. Water by itself cannot cleanse your soul. We, by ourselves, cannot win forgiveness. But add the Holy Spirit to water, and you have baptism. Add the Holy Spirit to sinners, and you get saints. So prepare the way of the Lord. Go to confession. The light is on for you this Wednesday and the next, and for 30 minutes before every Mass during the week. The Lord is coming, and rejoice at what he will bring when he arrives. Truly, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Beloved people of St. Peter's, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before the Lord, to be at peace. Comfort, take comfort, O my people, for you have received from the hand of the Lord double and so much more than double for all of your sins.